Move over dogs, you've had your day. On the photo-sharing social network Instagram, the rising stars are no longer charismatic puppers or even their friends. Instead, it's plants such as the Insta-ready philodendron pink princess that are garnering the big likes and the top dollar. What is going on here? I ask Culturefile's regular tech soothsayer, Professor Aisling Kelleher. We've heard of influencers, and I've even heard of shoe-tubers. But what is a plant-fluencer?
Well, they're also called plant parents, or kind of like the children of the indoor generation, which sounds very ominous, but I think it's more to do with these are the millennials who are decided they've cultivated a new form of niche influencing by taking photos of their plants, but not just any old plants, plants that they think are rare, or and not just taking pictures of them, but cultivating them and propagating them and now selling them. So this is something that a phenomenon that's been going on for a couple of years now, partially and supported primarily by Instagram, but also other social networks like Facebook as well, where people take beautiful photographs. Like you said, we might have had it, like it might have been ceramics before or shoes, but this idea of cultivating plants and having followers for these, like up towards of 750,000 people follow some of these accounts on Instagram, where they're just putting up pictures of very artfully crafted compositions with plants. And it's become maybe something that started out for some people as a side hustle is now like their main way of making money. They're using it to launch books. They're using it to launch kind of lines of branded artifacts that you can buy, and also to set up new stores. It's this huge growth industry. About a quarter of all plant sales in the last 2 years have been by individuals aged between 18 and 34. So it is this growth market of young people, in particular of millennials, who are very savvy about how to cultivate a network online. And they're now being able to, you know, it's cheaper than a dog, I guess, for getting, you know, lots and lots of followers. And it's very, very cute. And it's become a big industry.
We might think of a nursery might put itself online. And so people would tend to buy plants from that nursery. But it's a kind of a rather souped up version of that.
Yeah, or even it's maybe the nursery folks with their kind of traditional approach to maybe how they might advertise or brand their product might be a little late to this market. What you're seeing more are people who are actual influencers, that's what they do, kind of getting into the market of, well, maybe I could do plants and maybe I can, you know, set up an online store. And I think some of the folks in the more traditional nurseries and gardeners have come to this. And there's a recent story in Wired magazine that is really fascinating about a company, Gabriella Growers in Florida, and their owner, I guess Shane Malloy, he began to notice this uptick in, you know, people wanting, particularly through their online business, very certain particular types of plants. And he realized, in particular, there was this one called a pink princess philodendron that was the it plant last year. The New York Times even called it that. And it's a kind of a pink, variegated, very bright pink plant with heart-shaped leaves. And so he started seeing this huge uptick. And over the course of about 18 months, he went from selling his plant for $6.50 to $100. And now you're seeing other plants that, because they've been cultivated and propagated in a very particular way, to almost be artificially rare in some ways, are achieving prices of about $2,000, which seems wild, that, you know, but maybe not, because we've seen these phenomenon before, whether it was, you know, tulips in the 17th century, or what was it, the Victorians were mad for orchids, and all these different types of things that people get obsessed with. And I think the idea that now there's even a faster cycle, you know, the idea of the same way that there's fashion, the idea that a plant is in fashion and that can be deliberately cultivated and made very, very desirable, is a pretty new market.
What this reminds us of is kind of the way Instagram proverbially affected restaurants, where the performance of the food, as far as taste was concerned, became kind of less important than its performance in a little square photograph on Instagram. What is it about the platform that makes people drawn to particular plants or to particular type of plants? You say pink, for instance.
Again, I think it's like which types of plants are worthy of being photographed. And I don't think, you know, I think back when I was growing up with spider plants were everywhere. Those spider, you know, they, whether or not they're going to be very attractive or a cactus, but there is definitely something, maybe a little twee about it as well, because it's all about the setting, the idea of having this like perfect corner of your room where you take Instagram-worthy photos of your plants. I came across an interesting one called Boys with Plants, which is pretty much just a load of beefcake semi-naked lads who are very, very nice, and are the plants that are along with them. So if that's your thing, They've definitely found a niche.
Robert Mapplethorpe used to make a very good living from exactly that combo.
He was the first plant influencer and taught you that there's a lot more things you can do with plants than you might first have imagined.
So this is something more than that kind of return to craft. This is about finding plants that are particularly charismatic and even kind of making plants become more charismatic.
Yes. So in particular, the idea of pink plants seems quite popular, partially because they photograph very well and they pop and it looks very nice. And there's a recent, very interesting story that we're reading, particularly about this kind of excitement that people had, particularly on Instagram, about a new type of philodendron that was called a Congo philodendron. And this is vibrantly pink, like a very, very beautiful bright pink. And so this became quite an object of obsession, or people were paying at least three figures to get their hands on these plants. And slowly those who are plant experts began to notice that pink was going to wear off after time. It wasn't an actually genetic mutation as would normally happen in creating this new form of variegated plant. But the people who were selling and developing this plant and propagating it had sprayed or gassed them with a type of plant hormone, which is typically used to help fruit ripen. But when used with these types of plants, it can give them this really bright pink color and has a really lovely name. Maybe not lovely if you shelled out three figures for it, but the idea that it's called a Cinderella plant, because eventually it will return back to its natural state and you will not be able to propagate it and develop and cultivate it at home into a moneymaker, which is what a lot of people had bought it for, saying, this is great, I'll get in early on this, get my cuttings from this plant, fantastic. And that's just not going to happen. But I think that sense of the same way that you can have fake Prada bags or fake shoes, the idea of having this phenomenon built around a completely fake plant that maybe is wonderful if you just want to collect it, but not if you intend to try and make money off it. There's this urgency to it that seems antithetical even to the idea of like those who grow bonsai plants, where you're growing one plant over a really long period of time and have a very deep relationship with it, versus this, which is just trying to see, well, what's going to be on trend? I mean, what are we going to look at now? And are there going to be people who are like plant curators for movies, doing branded, like the same way you have a Pepsi Cola can in the background when somebody's talking, now you have these really particular types of plants that become desirable, the same way that the Nora Ephron movies where you're like, oh, I want that kitchen, and then you go to the next movie and you're like, actually, I want that kitchen. And now I'm like, maybe I want that particular type of cactus or guava or whatever. So how that begins to propagate more and more into the world of commerce and capitalism will be interesting to see.
Aisling Kelleher there, down the line from her desk in Virginia Tech, on the rise of internet-famous houseplants.